Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Blog Talk Radio show. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host. Brother Aziz, are you with us? I'm still trying to bring in my co-host. Brother Aziz, are you with us? Okay. Brother Aziz, can you, are you with us? Take him out and bring him in again. Okay. And hopefully he'll call back in. But again, this is the Black Belt Wall Street Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And welcome to the show. Tonight we're going to have open mic conversation, and we want to bring in again. I think I have my co-host, Brother Aziz. Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Because yes, the first time I kept saying, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" You know,
I couldn't hear.
I had to hang up and call back again because you couldn't hear me.
Right, right. We're connected now. Yes. I was just telling our listeners, those who will be calling in, that tonight we're going to celebrate our honorable leader, and that's Brother Malcolm X. His birthday, of course, is May the 19th, but we won't be on the air on the 19th. We're on the air tonight. And so we're 2 days early. But we want to honor and celebrate his birthday. And we're going to do it by hearing many of his speeches that he has given. That's what we have planned for, Brother Aziz. Any comments that you have, and anything you want to open up with as far as our commemoration of our brother Malcolm and celebrating his birthday, after your comments, like I said, we're going to play different inserts of his speeches, and of course we will be ad-libbing as we go along this evening, you and I, and we will ad-lib as we see fit, and we'll play, and we also have hopefully participation from our audience as they call in. So Brother Aziz, again, any opening comments you might have, and we will go into our first speech from Brother Malcolm, Brother Aziz.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bilal. I did want to say that it's a good thing that we commemorate one of our African American heroes as well as leaders, because Malcolm Malik Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, he had a big impact on the African-American community in general, not just being a part of the Nation of Islam and a spokesman, their main spokesman, but also an impact on the whole African-American community. And he had a lot to do with the direction of which the civil service the civil rights movement went, because a lot of the original civil rights fighters were very, very, we say, nonviolent or pacifist type, and they didn't want to get out and really protest and take it to the powers that be and let them know this is not a joke. We're not just singing songs and, you know, lollygagging along. We're serious, and we're ready to pay the highest cost that someone has to pay when they believe in something that strong. So, you know, it's a good thing commemorating Malcolm X. And I always say that on Malcolm X holiday, celebration day, I should say, that we have a lot of African-Americans that say that's their hero. Well, I have an opinion, too, that your hero should be someone that you should want to be like. And we know what Malcolm X was. He was a Muslim and a believer. And I don't believe in, you know, saying someone is your hero and supporting them and all this and that, and you don't show more interest in what made him like he was. What made him become your hero? What made him become the man that he was when he came out of jail, out of incarceration? Something had to turn his life around to make him who he was, because before he was Malcolm X, he was just Malcolm Littler. Little jive hustler, wasn't no big time gangster. So we're looking at a man that turned his life around completely and became a national public figure. I mean, national as well as international. So we commemorate Malcolm X. We commemorate his wife, Betty Shabazz, who was a great civil rights fighter also. And may Allah forgive them both their sins and grant them paradise. Both of those two beautiful people have returned to their maker, have returned to Almighty God, Allah. And so we honor Malcolm X and his, and also his descendants that he left behind. So that's what I'd like to start off with, Brother Bilal, on some of my comments about the brothers. And as we move along, we'll start to start talking about some of the different things that he was actively involved in.
All right, Brother Aziz.
So if you want to investigate something, find out why they stopped building Harlem Hospital. There were people in Harlem fighting hard for a long time to get that hospital built. Had a hard time getting a white man even to start it. Then when they finally started on it, and there's nothing you need in Harlem more than a hospital, because you're sick, and you just got cut, or you're just getting ready to cut someone else. And we needed that hospital. So all these people had a brainstorm. They got up there and picketed and demonstrated, and the white man took away all the work, stopped the work. As someone said earlier this afternoon, they're still being paid, and the hospital is not going up. Your money, the money you pay out in taxes, is paying the white construction workers who are sitting at home doing nothing. This is some brainstorm that someone got off the track on when they tried to stop the construction of the hospital in Brooklyn. Couldn't stop it. Because that hospital is for white people, primarily. And you are not going to stop construction where the white man is to benefit. The only thing you don't stop is something right here in Harlem. But what really stopped the work up there, too many of y'all was out there, and the white man is free to you. As long as the line up there was Cora originally started the picketing, and there were more whites picketing than black, nobody was worried. Plus, they started picketing on a cool day, and I don't come out when it's cool. It was on a Wednesday, I think, and it was cool. And then on a Thursday, everybody came out there. They weren't demonstrating, but they came out there as spectators. And when all these black people as spectators began to stand there and watch, they were afraid. Because they knew that with the picketers picketing, any little thing could happen. And even though you don't want to integrate, if the white man started beating some integrationist heads across the street, you couldn't stand there and watch it. you do it. And this is what would make you explode. He knows that. So he stopped the building of the hospital, but they have not been successful in bringing a halt to any other construction in the city of New York outside of Harlem. So if they really meant good, they could have stopped that building over there in Brooklyn. That you can bring a halt to all the construction in New York City if those preachers are really for real. All they got to do is take all their congregation and take them down to Times Square. Tie it up. Now, I'm not talking Muslims aren't going to do this, but go and do something. And don't care what it costs. Don't care what the penalty or the price is. When you know you're right, you're right. And if you're not willing to go all the way, don't even start. Get on out of the line. Get on out of the battle. And that's another reason why we don't picket with you. As Reverend said, we're not nonviolent. We have demonstrated. We pull a demonstration. But when we demonstrate, if you ever see us fall out in a demonstration, we are ready to die, or we're ready to see that someone else die. I don't mean no turn the other cheek. This is the only reason that we don't become involved in these nonviolent demonstrations. It's not fair to walk up to a man nonviolently, he got a club in his hand. You're out of your mind. So you should check and find out what started, what stopped, who is behind, and what are the leading men I saw out that day, was a white man named Herbert Hill. Herbert Hill is the labor secretary for NAACP. Now, Herbert Hill, a white man holding a top position in the NAACP, can come to Harlem and stop the building of a hospital that for the benefit of black people, if that white liberal really has your welfare at heart, let him go downtown and stop some of these other construction sites. And until these white liberals, white people, who call themselves liberals, can go into their own neighborhood and stop construction, don't let them come in Harlem and start telling you what to do. No, when you want them, if they want some action, you give them some action. And you'll bring about a change in your whole, in the entire direction of your program and of your struggle, and you'll get a job done. We want every black man and woman to have freedom, the freedom to accept or reject being separated from the slave master's children and establish a land of our own. And this is what he says. Give all of us freedom of choice. First, give every one of the 20 million black people in this country an opportunity to hear the truth. Let them be taught the truth about the white man and the truth about the black man. Let them be taught the truth about God and the truth about the devil. Let them be taught the truth about heaven and the truth about hell. And once they know the truth, then give them a chance to make a decision. But don't take this poor, dumb, deaf, and blind, ignorant, brainwashed, so-called Negro and ask him what he wants. He doesn't know what he wants. And because he doesn't know what he wants, he tries to integrate with a blue-eyed wolf. Don't you know anytime you see some sheep trying to integrate with wolves, those sheep are sick. Those sheep are out of their mind. And a sheep got more chance with a wolf than you got integrated with a white man. Why, a wolf can't be as hard on a sheep as the white man has been on you here in America. We want an immediate end to the police brutality and mob attacks against the so-called Negro throughout the United States. Yes, a complete end to the police brutality and mob attacks that our people are confronted by every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year across the land. Brother, show me those. You got those pictures? Brother, grab that picture of Brother Ronald. Let me show you what I mean by police brutality and mob attacks. Come over here with that. Here is a man, a Korean vet. This is a black man, a Korean vet. Went to war in Korea fighting for America. Risked his life fighting for America. And came back to this country and was shot down by the white man like a dog. Not some Ku Klux Klansman down in Mississippi. This black man was shot through the heart by policemen in Los Angeles, California. And they are dumb enough to think we have forgotten. Well, Muslim never forget. You don't kill our brother. We don't never forget. You don't shoot one of us and then grin in our face. You don't shoot one of us and then shake our hands and think we forget it. No, we never forget. We'll never forget. Someone has to pay. Somewhere, somehow, someone has to pay. When a snake bites your children, you don't go and look for the snake that has blood on his jaws. Any old snake. snake will do. Any old snake will do. They stab him through the heart. And as he lay dying on the sidewalk, they beat that hole in his head with police clubs. Not in Mississippi, but in Los Angeles, California. Not in the South, right there in the North, in the West.
Leaders opened up their mouths during the trial. They were silent while they had a rally of 35.
They take him off the planet.
The United States
You know, what can be said, Brother Aziz? What could possibly be said? When it comes to what Malcolm just said, I have no idea what could possibly be said after. Like I said, nothing has changed. There hasn't been a change. Brother Aziz, are you still with me, or did we lose each other again? I can't hear a thing that you're saying.
Yeah. You can't hear me? I'm here.
All right,
yeah. I was saying, you're correct. Nothing really has changed. And what he was saying is applicable until people that's been around a while, you know, like us, and, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be around, but what is happening is a lot of the younger ones are not saying that they haven't encountered any racism. They don't know what racism is. They just accepted that they got mediocre stuff and they see their other friends excel and go places where they said they should be able to go, but they don't know why they don't get the breaks they should. It's because they don't have any identity. They don't have any self-identity.
Well, you know, Brother
Malcolm,
Brother Malcolm says something that we talk, and we're talking about at the present time, and that's dual citizenship with our African heritage, and dual citizenship, doing business and living in Africa. You can see where he talked about that then, and it's, like I said, it's so relevant today. So what Brother Malcolm was talking about is what you and I and others are talking about as we speak right now. That is dual citizenship and doing business with Africa, and African Americans consider living in Africa. So I thought that was rather interesting. So we'll just continue, Brother Aziz.
Yeah.
We'll just continue.
All right.
We believe in the truth that is in the Bible, but we don't believe in the lies that the white man has put in the Bible. We believe in Allah's prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, not in the physical resurrection, but in mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, but not when you're physically dead. When you stop breathing and your heart stops beating, that means that you're in the ground. That's all she wrote. You are not going anywhere. Your soul isn't going anywhere. Your body isn't going anywhere. Nothing is happening after that. When you're dead, you're done. That's it. You can forget it. Then you test all of it. What about the resurrection? He says that our people are dead. Negroes are dead. Walking zombies. You're the one that the book is talking about who is dead. Dead to the knowledge of yourself. Dead to the knowledge of your own people. Dead to the knowledge of your own God. Dead to the knowledge of the devil. Well, you don't even know who the devil is. You think the devil is someone down inside the ground that's going to burn you after you're dead. Why, the devil is right here on top of this earth. He got blue eyes, blonde hair, white skin, and he's giving you hell every day. You're still too dead to see it. Black people in America in the last day will be taught the truth. The trumpet of truth will sound in your ear. And it's being sounded today, the trumpet of truth. And this truth strikes your ear and strikes
this is an honor and a celebration of our brother Malcolm X. Brother Aziz, I'll let you give everybody our telephone number for those who may want to call in if you like.
Right, yeah. For our listeners that's participating with us right now, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. And our time is from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And sometimes, depending on the length of the show and the group participation, sometimes we may run to 8 o'clock and not to 9, depending on group participation. But we also have an Internet participation where you can come on the Internet, and that's blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC. That's blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC. That's URL. That'll be the Blog Talk Radio show in Washington, D.C. And that call-in number again, 657-383-1372. And back to you, my brother Bilal.
Thank you, Brother Aziz.
We believe in the truth that is in the Bible, but we don't believe in the lies that the white man has put in the Bible. We believe in Allah's prophets and the script. We believe this is the time in history for the separation of the so-called Negroes and the so-called white American. We believe the black man should be free in name as well as in fact. By this we mean that we should be freed from the names imposed upon us by our former slave master. Murphy is not your name. Jackson is not your name. Smith is not your name. Bunch is not your name. Paul is not your name. That's the white man's name. Those names go with blue-eyed people. Those names go with blonde-haired people. Those names are not for black people. Your names come from the East. You came from the East. You should have some good names, some holy names, some names that don't connect you with the white man, but names that connect you with God. Not names that connect you with the devil, but names that connect you with God. Like Hassan, Sharif, Rahman, Rahim, Hussan, Lumumba, Kenyatta, Nkrumah, Nyerere. Good names. Those names give you honor. When you walk around here saying your name is Murphy, honor the white man. You let the world know who owns your grandfather. When you say it's Smith, that means some old white man named Smith owned your grandfather. And that's where you got your name. Names which identified him as being the slave master's slave. We believe that if we are free indeed, we should go in our own people's names, the black people of the earth. We believe in justice for all, whether in God or not. We believe as others that we are to do equal justice as human beings. We believe in equality as a nation of equals. We do not believe that we are equal with our slave masters in the status of free slaves. What that means, you and I can't walk around here saying we're equal to the white man. White man got all the factories, got all the stores, all the businesses, all the schools, and you're going to tell us we're equal with them? No, we're not equal until we make ourselves equal. We're not equal until we have what he has, until we have for ourselves what he has for himself. When he runs up his flag, we need a flag that we can run. When he breaks out his army, we need our army. He come up with his navy, we need our navy. He have his air force, we need our air force. He have his bullets, we need our bullets. Then when we got the same thing that he has, we're equal. But as long as we're begging him for what he has, we're not equal to him. We recognize and respect American citizens as independent people, and we respect their laws, which govern the nation. And if it's true, we don't love any white man, but we respect his law. We obey his law. You won't find us pretending to love them. They're not worthy of our love. But we respect their law. We respect their flag. We respect their government. We don't believe in it, but we respect it. We respect authority. We respect those who have positions of authority. But that doesn't mean we have to love those people or like those people or trust those people. They are not worthy of our trust. And they are not worthy of our love. And they won't get our love. from the white people of this nation. If the white people are truthful about their professed friendship toward the so-called Negro, they can prove it by dividing up America with their slaves. We do not believe that America will ever be able to furnish enough jobs for her own millions of unemployed white people, in addition to jobs for the 20 million black people.
He said,
getting into, like I said, nothing has changed. You can see the number of African Americans that are still unemployed today, especially African Americans.
Right. Yeah.
And many of them have been incarcerated where their folder, their record, will guarantee that they can't advance. And so it's so true, but I can see everything that the brother was talking about, during his lifetime and during our lifetime, is still so relevant today. And that's something that that's something I think that we as a community need to see just where we need to get our act together because again, Brother Aziz, we looks like we're losing out as a community.
Yes, we hate to sit up and see our community just deteriorating away. And, you know, what we mean by deteriorating away, less and less people like us are now in the community. We watch these properties go away, and when they're being sold, they're not being sold to someone look like the prior owners, look like us. Yeah, the community is just slowly deteriorating away, but it's not like that everywhere. You know, there's in a lot of these northern cities, yeah, but a lot of the southern cities, there's still a lot of hope there because the way that it is, the way that a lot of the communities deteriorate away down south is, as we know, and we've talked about it many a times, and you've stuck on that a lot, one, and that redlining. And yeah, redlining where they don't, our people can't have money to furnish their, like our brother Harris was saying, all of the properties that were in Selma that were vacant, some of them abandoned, some of them people who got to pay the taxes on now there. They got them holding them. They're going to sell them. So the people that were there just left. Like, they abandoned, shut the town down. It's a lot of southern cities like that. Not as much as, not so much the ones close to the water, like the bays, but more inland, more farmland-type towns and smaller cities. Even Atlanta has its, it's a sections of town where one could go in and take and invest in real estate there. And you know, but each one of these places, you know, the growth there is based on the economics.
Yeah.
What kind of businesses in those what kind of businesses are in those towns?
Right.
And that's
well,
you know, what brings economics in.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's always some big Fortune 500 company that, you know, to supply jobs for a lot of these small towns or some of the cities, you know, and all of the services that go along with that. So that's another thing. You know, we can have businesses in our community, but, you know, where is the money's going to come from the people that's, you know, living in the communities? So Malcolm was right there, brother, when he was saying America didn't even have enough jobs to supply for their own people.
Yeah.
Let alone the African American.
We're going to continue.
Right.
A white man, he wants you to remain a boy. He wants you to remain a lackey. He wants you to remain dependent on him. He wants you to come looking to him for some kind of advice or some kind of teacher. No, you teach yourself and stand up for yourself and respect yourself and know yourself and defend yourself and be yourself, and you'll be recognized as an intelligent person. I purposely say the government. That's who it is. FBI, CIA. They sneak around here in Harlem trying to frighten you into thinking that if you be a Muslim, you're going to catch hell. You already caught hell. You can't catch any more hell than you have caught. No, anytime you live in a government where its Federal Bureau of Investigation will spend its time running around here trying to frighten Negroes into thinking that they will be inside for becoming Muslim, for accepting the religion of Islam, that government has fallen to a low level. Anytime, and the FBI does it. The FBI walks around here asking questions, trying to frighten somebody. They ought to be told this is a new day. Nobody afraid of any FBI. Why should they bother us? We obey the law. We respect the law. We teach our people to obey the law. They should thank us. They should try and get you to become a Muslim. But they don't want you to be a law-abiding person. They don't want you to be a respecter of the law. They want you to be a criminal. They want you to be a lawbreaker. They want you to be immoral so they'll have an alibi to come in and bust your head with their club. No, this is what the FBI does. And God's going to chastise them for using their power in the wrong way. No, that's what they do with their offices down there in the Department of Injustice, calling themselves, or rather in the Department of Justice, calling themselves their respecter or protector of someone's rights. This is not fair for them to do this. They know what I'm saying is true. It's what they do. They come knocking on our door trying to frighten our little children. Are you a Muslim? What you look like asking our little children, is that child a Muslim? I tell the old devil, you must believe it too, or you wouldn't be wasting all your money trying to track us down. One of those old blue-eyed things had the nerve to, a couple of years ago, to go to Philadelphia and tell the Muslims. They said, Brother Malcolm is talking about white people, and he's in New York living with a white woman. Imagine this. I told the brothers, next time the old FBI come and tell you that, you tell them that if I'm in New York living with a white woman, it's his mother. His blue-eyed mother. And since he's living with me, as he says, I can tell him what his mother is like, what she does. How nasty she is. How dog-like she is. Yes, you tell them that.
You know, the majority of what he was saying was true.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move right along.
And our beautiful brother, the Mau Mau, who were patriotic soldiers fighting in defense of Kenya, their homeland, when the white man was go to them with his pole and say, you belong to the Mau Mau? They said, I ain't never heard of the Mau Mau. You know, the white man is so naive. He actually expected that African to tell him that he was one. And the one who so faithfully told Boss, I never heard of him, Boss. He got Boss's head when Boss went to bed. Are you a Muslim? Our people say, I never heard of them, boss. And that's what he wants to hear. Tell him just what he wants to hear. I never heard of them, boss. Rock him to sleep. Send him to bed. Now, if I was Cassius Clay, I'd make that rhyme out. But I'm not Brother Cassius, so I think I'll let it stop right there. Now, brothers and sisters, we believe that we who declared ourselves to be righteous Muslims should not participate in wars which take the lives of humans. As Muslims, we don't go to war. We don't get drafted. We don't join anybody's army. We don't teach you not to go because they put us in jail. For sedition, I would never tell you not to go. I wouldn't be that dumb. But I would sure would tell you if you're dumb enough to go, that's up to you. If you're dumb enough to fight for someone who means you no good, if you're dumb enough to fight for something that you have never gotten, if you are dumb enough to be as dumb as your other brothers who went into Korea and came back and still caught hell, if you're dumb enough to
fear.
you will molest them. You might step on one, or you might nudge one. And when you put your hand on a Muslim sister, we are obligated by our religion to let your head roll in the street. We are obligated. We are religiously obligated to take the life of the man who disrespects our women. And four policemen on that corner one night, I was told a week later, had the audacity to approach one of our sisters. And I think that the word should go around that this is the wrong thing to do. This is a dangerous thing to do. In fact, it's dangerous anywhere in Harlem today for a white man to show disrespect to a black woman. It's dangerous for the white man to do this. And I think you'll agree it is dangerous. We believe that we're at the time now when God, the Prince of Peace, has a desire to set up his kingdom here on this earth. But we do not believe that God can establish a kingdom of peace until he first removes from the planet the warmonger, the war maker, the troublemaker. So today, we believe religiously that God is after the white man, that God is rounding them up, that God is bringing them together, dumping them all in one spot for the sole purpose of casting all of them into the lake of fire. We religiously believe that when you read the book of Revelation, and it points out in there about the beast in the last days that was cast into the lake of fire as Muslims, we believe that this means none other than the American white man. We believe that his future is a fiery future, a future in which he will be enveloped in the flames that will stem from God's wrath. And because we believe this religiously, we respect him. But we don't have any desire to be integrated with him. We want to be separated from him. We want to please God. We want to get on God's side so God will be on our side. We want to make ourselves acceptable to God. We don't want to make ourselves acceptable to the white man. We're not trying to impress the white man. We shake his hand. We show him respect. But we're not trying to make no love with the white man. Let him love his own kind and let us love our own kind. Let him unite his own kind and let us unite our own kind. Let him live in his neighborhood and let us live in our neighborhood. Let him run his community and let us run our community. If the white men cops are going to be in the white community, let us have some black ones. Let us have some black precincts. Let us have some black merchants. Let us have some black stores. Let us have something black in a black community. We are tired of looking into the face of these blue-eyed exploiters who are taking advantage of our people. In the name of Allah, the all-wise, true, and living God, the one to whom all praise is due, we thank him together in unity and harmony. As you know, the white man is always looking for you to cut up, start something that he can blame on us. So as you disperse from this meeting this afternoon, we want you to be cool, calm, collected. Don't let anyone hurt you or provoke you into becoming involved in any kind of trouble. On the other hand, we still don't teach you to turn the other cheek. We don't in any way at any time teach you to turn the other cheek.
All right.
God is not only after him for enslaving you. God is after you, after him for tricking you, for deceiving you. God is after it. God is the one that's making his ship sink in the sea. God is the one who brings his airplane crashing out of the sky full of white folks. God is the one that makes his cars crack up on the highway. God is the one that's giving polio to his little children and making his senators die with heart attacks. That's the work of God. Those are blessings from God. That's the reward that God has given him for the evil that he has done. That's a wicked race. And God is making his children be born today, be formed, demented, or dead. That's from God. That's what God did to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh wouldn't treat those people right, and Pharaoh wasn't stopped by those other plagues, God then began to strike the firstborn. God began to knock off his children. God began to make that race of devils lose their children. And when they saw their own little babies dying, and their senators dying, and their congressmen dying, and their former presidents dying, and their big shots falling out, then they knew they were trying to separate those people from their... Just as it was in those days, it's the same way today. It isn't you who's after the white man. God is after the white man. It isn't communists that's after the white man. God is after the white man. God doesn't love ugly. There's nothing on this earth uglier than that blue-eyed, stringy-haired, bad-smelling race of devils.
Continuing to say, from 1900 today, nothing has really changed. The same thing Malcolm was talking about as far as living, and it's relevant today, and we're still living. And talking about the same conditions. So many of the subjects that you see that we are continuing to talk about, if it's not addressed, it's almost like you ask yourself, where do we go from here? So we have the privilege of having our sister with us, Brother Aziz. Sister Aisha, I know she's not feeling 100%, but she might be with us and be able to give us the greetings. Sister Aisha, are you with us? I'm not hearing from her. Sister Aisha, are you with us?
Okay. Yes, I am. Assalamu alaikum to all of you. Inshallah, next week, I pray Allah that I'll be in good shape and able to communicate a little better. But
yes.
I am appreciating hearing from Brother Malcolm. And I agree with you, Brother, when you just said nothing has changed. We are still in the same condition. We're just dressed up a little better.
Yeah.
But basically in the same position. And the situation with these mega landlords who are buying up these properties under the skies of gentrification, displacing our people and sending them backwards as far as their economic stability and generational wealth. So nothing has changed.
Yeah. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're going to see what Brother
Good to hear your voice, Sister Aisha.
Thank you.
Your voice. And, you know, Brad Lyle has been telling me, you know, keeping me in touch with what's going on. He's looking forward to hearing your voice today. So looking forward to you. Hopefully, inshallah, you'll be better next week. And we've been missing
inshallah.
You, I'll put it that way.
Inshallah. Alrighty. I do believe I will be. Thank you.
All right.
Right here. Again, we'll continue to celebrate. Brother, birthday, Malcolm X's birthday, so we will continue to hear from you.
All right.
The same white liberals who used to praise you for your patient, nonviolent approach have now become openly impatient and violent themselves in defense of their own job. Not only in the South, but also in the North, right here in New York City. While they were busting heads out in Brooklyn. They were busting heads out in Long Island. They were busting heads up in the Bronx. White teenagers came out in sheets. Ku Klux Klan, not in Georgia, but right up there in, not down south, but down in the Bronx. White teenagers came out there burning crosses to let you know that this white man here is no different from that white man down there. Solve his problem and you solve your problem. brothers were being brought over here as slaves. 100 million black people were taken from Africa. And when the Civil War was over, there weren't 6 million black people in America. There weren't 20 million black people in the Western Hemisphere. What happened to 80 million? Where did they go? Where did they disappear? Why, that dog dropped them in the water and worked them to death. He murdered them. He butchered them. He mutilated them. I mean 80 million of your and my forefathers. And you think that God is going to forgive him for that? No. You might be dumb enough to forgive him for it, but God won't forgive him for it.
Amen, amen.
Run around here and want you to cry for them. Let them go cry for themselves. Tell them if they're interested in your problem that you have some of these stores. Instead of opening stores up all in your neighborhood and robbing your deaf, dumb, and blind. Yes, the Jews do that.
Right.
And some blue-eyed Jews are going to walk with me and say that I'm saying something anti-Semitic. Anti-hell. That gets you drunk. It is Jews that run these old run-down stores that sell you bad food.
Right.
It is Jews who control the economy of Holland and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel. And got dumb enough to walk around here joining some NAACP or CORE and think we're going to be blind to what they're doing to us. No, someone better pull their coat. Anti-Semitic, that's just plain intelligence. You know, I was on a program here in New York on Channel 13 in which I made a statement concerning how the Jews control about 80% of the economy in most Negro communities across the country. And the Jews organized themselves and wouldn't let this thing come back on Channel 13. Was two interviews. One was done by Baldwin and one was done by me. The one I did two. One was short and one was a 30-minute derivation. 30-minute duration. And at the end of it, you remember Morgenthau jumped up and said that he's not responsible for anything I said. Well, I can understand why he said that, because during that same week, these same old so-called liberal Jews who claim they believe in free speech and all that old kind of stuff, they got together and prevented the showing of that interview again, simply because I had made the statement on that the Jews are the ones who are robbing us and exploiting us up here in Harlem and across the country. The Jews believe in censorship more than anybody else. All you got to do is start talking about Jews, and you'll find all the papers will close up on you. They can't take it. They can't take any criticism. They're the most sensitive white people on this earth. They don't like you to talk about them, but they want to talk about everybody else. They want to tell you what Hitler and Eichmann did to them, but don't want us to tell you what Uncle Sam has done to us. And Hitler didn't kill as many of them as Uncle Sam has killed those of us. And if they were justified in snatching Eichmann and taking him back over there and gassing him, then God is justified grabbing Uncle Sam and putting the gas to him.
Right.
See, they set themselves up as judge and high lord executioner. Well, we're not doing that. We're leaving the judgment and the justice up to God.
Okay, Brother Aziz, we don't have a large audience. I'm not going to carry it any further this evening. I think we have
okay.
did a decent job on honoring our leader, and we pray that Almighty God reward him for all of his goods, forgive his sins, and grant him his
prayer.
So other than that, we're going to go ahead and cut it short. We don't have a big audience, and so we won't go, we won't take it any further. So,
all right.
I'm going to wish you a very good evening, thanks, and I think any of our
you too, my brother.
That was on the internet, but we expect to be back next Wednesday and our full crew and especially our natural disaster programs. We know we're going to be continuing those programs because I got a feeling there's going to be many disasters, many natural disasters before this summer period is over. So, Brother Aziz, assalamu alaikum.
You know, bro, and you know, before you go, Brother Bilal, I wanted to say, did you see that that aerial view of what California looked like going all up north and all that, it, with all that snow and that snow is melting and what it's doing?
That's what I mean about the disasters. California is projecting that they will be
major disaster.
Yeah, many of the cities in California will be underwater. So that is something that we've never experienced before. So that's what I mean about we will be dealing with our experts when it comes to natural disasters. So I will tell our audience if you want to listen in for that. So other than that, Brother Aziz, like I said, we will wish each other a very good evening and peace.
Yes, brother. Wish you happy. Good evening, too.
As-salamu
alaykum. Walaykum as-salam, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.